Welcome to another episode of Phantom Island. It's me, Ryan Nanny. As always, our show is presented by Homefield. We are giving you something a little different. This show is dropping on December 24th, where it turns out Stephen Godfrey and I, by virtue of having lots of small children, have some stuff that we got to take care of this week. So we decided to share with you the audio of the live show we did in November this year in Athens, Georgia. The topic of that live show was, well, what happened to SEC speed? If that phrase means nothing to you, don't worry. We explain in the live show. And if it does mean something to you, well, you're going to get to hear the question answered. Now, I will note this was a live show with a heavy visual component, specifically a slideshow that we put together. It was a lot of slides. I'm very normal and I make good choices. You won't be able to see that, obviously. I think I'm pretty confident you're still going to be able to get the gist of the episode, but there will be points where it's not going to make the same exact sense that would have had you been there. What is the lesson there? I mean, you can always come to the live show. If you did come, thanks a lot. It was a lot of fun, and we appreciate everybody who did. And if you didn't come, hey, we'll see you next time. I'm sure we'll do another one of these at some point. Obviously, we want to thank Homefield, sponsor of the show, for helping put this on. It was part of Can't Miss Kickoff, their events that weekend in Athens, the weekend the Georgia beat Texas, and the Texas A&M very nearly lost to South Carolina, but didn't ultimately. We had a really good time. We appreciate Homefield for making it happen, being awesome partners, putting on a really good event for us. We hope you enjoy this, and if you do, reminder that you can always support the show by going to phantomisland.show, signing up for a paid membership. When you do that, you get access to everything we put out here. You get at the right level, you get to submit possible topics for us to discuss on the show, questions for Stephen to answer on the single wing, all kinds of fun stuff. Maybe more new stuff in the new year. Who's to say? I'm not going to spill my guts like that, in part because, you know, I don't want to lie to you. I don't want to say something wrong and then have to stick to it. I have enough guilt. Anyways, here's the live show. We hope you enjoy it.
Every rustle in the trees, a potential snare. Close my eyes and block my ears. Cut the cord and leave me here.
Good evening. All right.
Hi, Athens.
Thoughtful content. All right, we got to live up to that. All right. How is everybody? Real fast, Georgia contingent, make some noise. We got to make some notes. Okay. Wow, okay. All right. Anybody here from Texas?
Okay. That counts.
All right, okay. That was a really energetic clap, so I'm just going to look directly at you, sir. Okay, you ready? All right, before we get into it tonight, we're going to ask you guys to suspend disbelief. Texas, you've always been a part of the SEC, okay? Spiritually, we're going to ask... Look, we know Texas has done a lot for college football, but I want to ask you a couple things. Do you feel like Texas is willing to spend an exorbitant, stupid amount of money on college football? Maybe. Just say yes. Okay. All right. Are you willing to do something completely irrational if you're a Texas fan, like maybe set fire to your neighbor's landscaping like we do in the SEC? Yes? Good? Of course. All right. Finally, this is the most important thing. Everyone in here who's an old hand at the SEC knows this. Are you willing to, when anything bad happens in your life, college football or other, blame Alabama for it? Yeah. We all good on that?
There's more that unites us than divides us.
Oh, it's good. All right. Before we get started, we have a lot of people to thank. We want to thank Modelo. We want to thank Homefield. Without them, we would not be here. I see a lot of Homefield in the crowd. We want to thank, hey, those of you who listen to our show, and when you listen to this, you are going to hear the best produced podcast in the history of Phantom Island or anywhere else. And that is because all those awesome people over there from Tweed Recording, right down the street here in Athens, They are putting all this together tonight. We want to thank Tweed Recording for all their help. And we want to thank Union Fair for having us. Is there anybody else?
No, we're going to introduce ourselves now.
Okay. Look at that forehead. And the ears.
Look at the ears.
Really just grew into both, okay? My name is Stephen Godfrey, if you couldn't tell by that wonderful shirt, which is very close to something you could buy at Homefield. I am from the state of Georgia. I was born in Macon. My family's from Georgia. And like every young white guy in Georgia, I grew up hoping to...
get rejected by Georgia and go to Ole Miss instead?
That's exactly what I did, yes, yes. So I am a graduate of the University of Mississippi. Now, unfortunately, we don't have an embarrassing...
No. Yeah, look, if you find a photo of me wearing Georgia gear, I have been kidnapped, and you need to call my family right away. My name is Ryan Annie. I went to the University of Florida. How do you think I feel about it these days?
Just shout out to interim head coach Billy Gonzalez. Let's all take a moment and appreciate that.
So we're going to, as a lead up to this show, we're going to establish a little bit of a timeline. For purposes of our timeline, time begins in January 1981 when Georgia beats Notre Dame and wins the 1980 National Championship.
All right. Shortly after I come into existence, those are connected events because like anyone who didn't go to Georgia, I'm going to claim credit, right? Because I've been here all along like
That's
a great
right.
sidewalk fan.
That's
all right. Ryan, you're here?
I'm down the road. And then 7 years after that, Florida decides to give college football a try. Doesn't exist before 1990. Don't ask about it. First SEC championship happens in December 1992.
All right.
This is more of the timeline that we're going... First of all, let's talk about 1998. What a year for Iowa. Lucy Rodine and Kirk Ferentz. Big parts of the Iowa legend. Lucy is born, Kirk is hired as Iowa's head coach.
All right, this has a point. We'll come back to Iowa, as I know everyone here is really excited for us to come back to Iowa. All right?
The iPod, to be clear, launches in October 2001. And we have an intern at Phantom Island. He is a young boy. His name is also Ryan. He was born in 2002. And this is going to be relevant in a second here, in a way you will see. That's just a couple years before Arch Manning is born. And that means that both Arch Manning and our intern Ryan are not even in first grade when Florida beats Ohio State to win the 2006 BCS championship. Why does this matter? Well,
yes.
In our office a few months ago, we brought up a phrase to our intern Ryan. And that phrase was SEC speed. Has anyone in this room ever heard or used the phrase? Okay. Good.
Sounds like some of y'all used it in your wedding vows.
Because our intern, who's from Tennessee and cares about college football, had never heard it before. SEC speed was a phrase that meant nothing.
Didn't exist.
To him. Every episode of Phantom Island starts with a question, and this live show is not going to be an exception to that. So that's why our question for tonight is, was SEC speed real? And what happened to it?
I just want to point out that Ryan made the slideshow, which is why we have this sort of like purple font for no reason.
Yeah, man.
It looks like we're hosting like a Sex and the City podcast.
That's right.
Like we're all about to watch a Nancy Myers film. I don't know why I did this.
Meg Ryan is going to come out later and she's going to be amazing.
All right. All right. What a Meg Ryan chatter.
So we're going to do a mini game. In the first part of this episode, it's going to be a home field themed minigame, obviously. That's why I need Lucy Rodine. You're going to come up here. You're going to represent the Big Ten for purposes of this minigame. And Graham,
the South, being as hospitable as ever.
Graham Coffey is in here as well. He's going to be up here representing the SEC. But it's not just the two of you. I need you each to select one audience volunteer to be your teammate for this ongoing game. And I can guarantee you that each volunteer will get a minimum of $100 in home field gift card with the opportunity to go up from there. So you can each pick one partner. Go ahead.
Sir, okay, your lady, woman, right there. Yeah.
Okay, raise your hand.
Yeah.
If you want to do it, if
Let's
you're
go.
Down, put them down because it's trivia. I want to make sure we have the... Who's the smartest in the room? Okay, Rose, put your hand down.
Oh, yeah, no, let's go. Yeah.
No, she cannot
okay.
do it.
No? Okay.
Any
All
Big
right,
Ten,
you ready?
Are you a Big Ten girlie?
All right, you got it.
Oh. Okay, who's a...
We have a Big Ten. We have a Big Ten over here.
Any Big Ten girlies?
I got Big 12.
That's not what I want.
Nope.
Big Ten? You're Big Ten? Come on down.
Let's go.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Graham, pick your SEC candidate.
I want this gentleman right here.
Okay.
Okay.
Don't put your hand up if you don't want to, you know, participate.
Can we find out our contestant names, please?
Yes. Could you introduce yourself, please, and also what school you cheer for?
This is great because this is Iowa and Nebraska coming together.
I didn't see the hat from all the way over there. I would not have picked him. I would never have chosen that. I would have picked Rose.
Okay.
I'm Matt, by the way.
That's my dad's name. Do you know him?
Oh yeah, most of us do.
Yeah. Short for Matthew. Knew it.
All right.
I'm Jim from Richmond, Virginia, and I was here at Georgia for the Goff Donnan year. So.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Hey. All right.
Thanks for coming back.
I'm very excited. All right. So here we go.
So you just you earned all of the scoring. All
right.
Yes, I did.
So
we have a quick.
We're going to talk about SEC Speed first as a narrative, as a concept that we use to talk to one another, to listen to television, and way back in the day, read newspaper articles about, to understand college football. We're going to get into numbers later, but we're first going to start about this as more of a like talking point concept than anything else. And we're going to start with this quote, which is after Georgia won the 1998 New Year's Day Outback Bowl.
So each team, you can read the quote and try and figure out.
Well, no. This isn't for each team.
Oh, yeah. This one,
yeah.
Yeah,
this
ready?
One is just going to be for Team Lucy. All right.
Just the Midwest.
The quote
you guys
is,
ready?
And I'm going to do this for posterity. The SEC is so much faster. We heard all week about how big they were. But in the SEC, we've got big people who can run. They were so slow, we could get to insert player here and shut him down. Team Lucy, your job is so simple. What player was Derek Bird talking about in the team Georgia defeated in this Outback Bowl?
Here it is, folks, our chance to
get
this
what player? Because I was not alive then.
Anybody got? Oh, I see a hand up in the crowd. You can yell it out.
Yeah, you can yell it out.
If you want to yell it out.
Okay.
Ron Dane. It is Ron Dane. That's our answer.
Ron Dane is correct.
Yeah.
Ron Dane.
Make sure they see this part right here.
14 carries.
14 carries, 36 yards.
You know what? Some of us, that's a really good
offensive performance. That's Big Ten football, baby.
Some of us dream of that.
All right. Congratulations, Team Lucy. You have successfully answered question number one. That's going to bring us to question number two. We're still at the same Outback Bowl. Stephen, you have a thing you want to do for this one.
All right, everybody sees this quote. All right, I'm looking only at the red and black in this room. Okay, as someone who was born in Bibb County, what I need right now, I need the most peanut farming, almond brother, Georgia accent possible. Who in here right now, all you have to do is read this quote out loud. I need the most quintessential Georgia accent. Anybody?
I'll give it a go.
Let's go. You ready?
Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. Should we walk up here?
Sure.
Once he gets going, he's a good back, but he's no Fred Taylor. Fred Beasley or some of the other top backs in the SEC. Speed kills, and they don't have a lot of it.
He hit
that was
the
very good. I feel
hell
like
yeah. Keel. Keels.
I feel like that was like I feel like that was a little more Savannah.
Okay.
You know? I feel like okay.
All right.
Yeah.
All again, right. Same Outback Bowl, same Georgia team, Team
same
Graham.
Same game. All right.
I need you to tell me who does this quote come from?
Team
who
UGA.
Uttered this quote?
Who said this quote?
Kirby Smart.
That's absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. Our contestants are doing so well.
Look how he hasn't aged at all.
Nope. I admire a man who finds a haircut at age 8 and says, yeah. Lock it in.
That's right. This will work for the rest of my life. Okay.
The Outback Bowl was so important in the SEC at this point in time that you could get commemorative paintings made out of important Alabama victories in it. This is real. I didn't ask AI to make this up. This is a quote from Mike DeBose. He's the one with the arrow next to him because he's not Gene Stallings. After beating Michigan in the 1997 Outback Bowl, speed is the one advantage we had. Without it, we'd have been in trouble. So, this is to give you an idea of exactly how much this trope comes up over and over and over again. Whenever the Big Ten and the SEC meet, and it's almost always in a couple of bowl games, It's just this idea that the Big Ten is big and strong and very slow and built for cold weather. And the SEC is slim and muscular and fast and can just run circles around them. And it's
arguably
the eternal,
better looking.
The eternal argument of what will win. Is it better to be big and slow or fast and handsome? Now you might be...
Hey!
You might be wondering, why are we talking about the Outback Bowl so much? Two reasons. One, it is one of two bowls where the Big Ten and the SEC met all the time. The Citrus Bowl was the other one. And two, because Stephen insisted that we remind everybody that I decided, as a married man with a child, to dress up like the Bloomin' Onion at an Outback Bowl where South Carolina beat Michigan and continued Will Muschamp's steady upward trajectory towards victory and championship.
Ladies and gentlemen, a Florida education.
That's right. I really like, in retrospect, that I decided to wear my wedding ring as if to tell oncomers, like, hey, I'm taken. Back off.
No chance, ladies.
The idea that the SEC had the speed exam advantage was not an assumption that everybody went with. We have a quote here from a Michigan wide receiver from Louisiana that's sort of like, hey, everybody's fast. Florida's most important coach of all time, Ron Zook, said that, yeah, maybe this used to be a thing, but these teams that we face, they have plenty of speed. It's all sort of overblown. And when you look at the head-to-head results in this 11-year stretch from 1995 to 2005, it's like, I don't know, is winning three more Outback Bowls and one more Citrus Bowl a huge... I mean, it's good, but it's not necessarily like, oh, my God, the SEC is the most dominant thing in the world.
Which one are you wooed? Were you
okay.
You were in school for Mark Richt, right?
All right, so let's turn now to the Oracle, the Day Walker, the man who knows Big Ten and SEC equally well.
By the way, this photo is actually from 2026. It's a de-aging process. So I'm here to report tonight he will be the next head coach at LSU.
That's right. That's going to get on a message board somewhere now, so.
Breaking.
All right, so we're in 2001 at this point. Nick Saban has coached one season at Toledo, five seasons at Michigan State, and two seasons at LSU. This is a question for both of our teams. All I need you to do is tell me, do you think Nick Saban thought SEC speed was real or not real? Real or not real? That's
real
it.
Real or not real?
Not real.
Not real? Not Big real. Ten team says it All was right. not. It says Nick Saban said it's not real. SEC team.
We say real.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to take a stab at reading this, and then we'll figure out who's right. This is Nick Saban, who's won more national titles than anyone. I think that sometimes people have stereotypes about things that are sometimes correct, sometimes incorrect, and other times only correct to a degree. This is a real quote. He actually said this when asked about SEC speed. So assuming he didn't have a stroke while saying this, Ryan, I guess we have to get points
yes,
to both
teams.
Yes,
we're going to get points to both teams because, yes, this is Nick Saban saying that, hey, it's all up to your personal preference whether SEC speed is real or not. Now, why did this come up with the Big Ten specifically so often? Well, in the case of the Big 12 and Pac-12, in the time period that we're looking at, these conferences just didn't play each other that much. The Pac-12 games almost never happen, and when they do, they're like the beginning of the season and narratives haven't quite set in. The Big 12 games happen a little more often, but not with the same frequency as the Big Ten. And the ACC has, like, a bunch of problems with bringing up SEC speed. They're recruiting from the same geographic footprint. And most importantly, you have to say with a straight face that it's ACC speed and not Florida State in the 90s.
I got up and moved so this one guy with the Georgia Tech shirt on could see that that's a win, sir.
That's
there
right.
You go.
That's right. Right. Now, that said... You want to tell everybody what's going on?
We just found this, and anyone younger than 30, we just wanted to see if you believe that this happened.
In back-to-back seasons, UCLA beat Alabama in the season opener in a home-and-home. Yeah. Yeah, it hasn't always been fun to be an Alabama fan. It's never been fun to be a UCLA fan, though, just to be clear.
Hit clap.
All right. So here is where we get to the narrative really getting gas poured on.
Just what a room full of Georgia fans want to see. Urban Meyer and Florida.
Now, look. maybe this whole show is an excuse for me to live in the past and not have to acknowledge anything that's happened in the last, I don't know, 15 years. But thank you, right? But this BCS championship game for the 2006 season between Florida and undefeated Ohio State is where the SEC speed narrative really starts to take off. We're going to start before the game where Lee Corso says Florida has a chance. And he said a chance because Ohio State was the pretty much odds-on favorite to win this game. So he much so that people were pissed that Ohio State wasn't in a rematch with Michigan instead of playing a Florida team that everybody thought they were going to be. Why did Lee Corso think that Florida had a chance, Stephen Godfrey?
SEC speed.
SEC
they
speed.
They had a chance.
They had a chance.
Okay, that's Houston Nutt. He's pictured here thinking about his next order at Bojangles.
Houston Nutt's quote, much more colorful, obviously. I think there, Florida. Florida's front four is better than LSU's. They are better and they run like deer. Thank you, Houston Nutt. Never change. But we are going to get the counter-argument to this as well, and this is going to be another question. This is actually just going to be a question for the audience, just for fun. This is Kirk Ferentz leading up to this same BCS championship. They have so many weapons on offense. They have such talented receivers, running backs, and their quarterback can beat you in three ways. With his arms, his legs, and like Captain Planet himself, with his leadership.
All right, leadership.
So just for the crowd, who's the quarterback Kirk Ferentz is talking about? Go ahead, shout it out.
Yeah?
Troy Smith is right.
Troy Smith. Oh.
Troy Smith. Heisman, fresh Heisman winner Troy Smith. Now, Troy Smith had, I don't know, fine numbers in most of his games. Like, obviously, Ohio State was undefeated, but he was just coming off a 316-yard, four-touchdown game against Michigan in a number one versus number two.
You guys will also notice that Texas seems to have trouble beating Ohio State, which we did not know about before we let you in. And I don't know if that's still happening.
We're going to get to other
teams. We could fix that. Or
we'll get to other SEC teams having trouble with Ohio State, too. So.
Yeah, another dogs. Yeah.
All right. This is going to be a question for both teams as well, but this is going to be Price is Right style. All I need you to tell me, without going over, closest without going over, how many passes did Troy Smith complete against Florida in the 2006 BCS championship game? Closest without going over. I'm gonna let the Big Ten team go first.
This is tough for me because I know that Kirk Ferentz is very good at evaluating quarterbacks.
Uh-huh.
It's something that he is.
Offensive mastermind.
That he's personally quite awesome at, that hasn't affected me psychologically at all. Everything is fine and I'm good. How many are you thinking, Matt?
13.
We're going 13.
13,
okay.
13 completions against 13.
Which is, by the way, very good for us.
All right, Team Georgia. What are you thinking, that's Team Georgia?
So even before the 13, he had said 12.
12.
12, okay.
Wow, wow.
Okay. Anybody want to yell out a guess?
Okay. That's right. That's right. The answer is 4.
I should have known when Kirk liked them. I should have known.
No points are awarded to you for Troy Smith's 4 completions against the Florida Gators. This one is just for my own fun. How many sacks? You could just shout this out. How many sacks did Florida have? 5 is right. 5 sacks. This is the most fun I've ever had watching a football game. All right. This is another one for both of our contestants here. You're both doing great, even though you didn't get that last question right.
I love speed, and the SEC has great speed, especially on the defensive line, but there are appropriate balances when mixing academics and athletics.
All right.
So no one from the South said
from
that.
From whom comes this quote that defensive lines should be balanced when it comes to academics and athletics? Each of you get to answer. Who issued this quote?
Somebody said Percy Harvin.
When was it?
This is in the wait. This is like a few weeks or months after Florida beating Ohio State in that game. Who said this quote? Who said we need to balance academics and athletics?
Team Midwest, we need an answer.
Do we have a guess from the crowd?
I like that too. All right, we need an answer.
We're going Lloyd Carr.
Lloyd Carr is your guess.
Carr.
Team SEC, what's your guess?
We're going to say Jim Tressel.
It's the commissioner of the Big Ten.
Wow.
Sam the Eagle himself, Jim Delaney. He did didn't just say this in a press conference or in a radio appearance. He wrote an open letter that the Big Ten put on its website about how the SEC didn't care enough about school, and the Big Ten did.
I went to a school with an 80% acceptance rate. So.
Famously.
It's actually 85.
So as I said, this is where the SEC speed narrative really starts to snowball. Every time a Big Ten team, or really almost any team, hello Hawaii, I'm sorry you got your asses kicked by Georgia, plays the SEC, SEC speed comes up. I will note this quote up here about this was SEC speed running past a northern team that sometimes looked as if it was playing in snowshoes, especially when vainly trying to tackle Eddie Lacy. That's not about an SEC team. That's about Notre Dame.
They're basically a Big Ten team.
All right. Now, there are notable non-Outback Bowl games in which the Big 12 shows up against the SEC. Texas plays Alabama. Oklahoma plays Florida. But when you go back and look and say, what was the conversation around these games, SEC speed doesn't come up. It is not the topic of discussion in any way whatsoever. It's really reserved for the Big Ten and its teams.
Did they sign stupid players too?
That's right. That's right. That's right. Now, this is a little bit of foreshadowing we're going to do. Urban Meyer eventually leaves Florida, takes the Ohio State job. And when he does, he's almost immediately, I think this might be in his opening press conference, he's asked about the SEC and its speed advantage. Quote, "I think the SEC speed is legit. Certainly the defensive front seven is at a different level in the SEC." We're almost done with the narrative portion of this, but before we get there, we're going to talk about one more quote from our colleague Ralph Russo. After Auburn beats Oregon, a team that nobody said, gosh, so slow, so incredibly slow, in the 2010 BCS championship game. His quote, "It's not SEC speed that teams from other regions can't quite deal with. It's those big, agile, and quick SEC defensive linemen they just can't keep out of the backfield." If you are noticing a trend or a common theme here, Nick Fairley represents it pretty well.
Yes, sir. All right. Let's move on. So, everybody remembers Auburn's national title. I'm sure you're very excited about that. All right.
So this is going to bring us to the numbers. We're mostly going to be talking about defensive line here, as we've indicated. But before we do, we have one more game for our contestants before we send them off back into the crowd.
All right. Who's that?
AJ Green.
Okay. All right.
AJ Green, when he went to the NFL Combine, ran the 40 in 4.48 seconds. Not 4 minutes, that's my 40 time. So, for both of our contestants, we are going to give you five other wide receivers from recent college football history. All you have to do, we're going to go one by one, and you just have to say, did they run the 40 at the Combine faster than AJ Green or slower than AJ Green? It's a coin flip. That's all. All right?
Ready?
So, Stephen, why don't you walk them through it, and I'll handle the ball.
You guys are just going to kind of yell it out. You ready? Will Fuller from Notre Dame.
Faster.
Will Fuller was faster.
Slower.
Faster. All right. Mike Evans from Texas A&M.
Slower.
Faster.
I'm sorry, but it's
slower. Big Ten, two for two. SEC needs
Braylon
to catch
Braylon Edwards, he's carrying a lot of books because he went to Michigan.
Faster.
Georgia team. Faster.
Braylon Edwards was indeed faster.
Lee Evans, Wisconsin. That's a cheese-based diet. Just want to point that out. I don't know how that
was
affects
Lee Evans
your speed.
Faster or slower than
faster.
Faster?
I just refuse to believe it's slower.
I'm sorry to say he was indeed faster. And last, where'd T.O. go to college?
He went to UT Chattanooga.
Let's go, Mox.
Oh, man. Okay. We just did that for the Dan Mullen joke.
All right. Big Ten team.
All right. Faster or slower?
We think slower.
Slower.
Faster.
Sorry. Whoa! Too fast. He's slower.
Slower.
All right. Steven, vamp a little bit while I do a little math.
Yes. All right, guys. Thank you very much. Everybody, a round of applause. How many mocks do we have in the crowd? Everyone said UT Chattanooga, and everyone started to yell, or they just wanted to yell mocks?
All right.
Just wanted to yell mocks. That's fine. Okay.
Congratulations, Lucy. Your team won for your contestant $190 in home field gift card money. Team Graham, Valiant Fight, $155. Both of our contestants, find Josh after this event. You will be handsomely rewarded for your efforts, and thank you for your participation. Now, we should preface that you look at this list and you're like, I don't think Braylon Edwards was better than AJ Green in the NFL. And that's because football is not a contest where you just run as fast as you can in a straight line. You have to do things like absolutely cook a defensive
look at that man.
Back on your
look
way
at that man run.
To making
look at that man
challenging
run
catches.
Yes.
So we want to acknowledge that when we're going to talk about combine events, it's not actually football. We're not saying this proves you are the best at football because you could run the 40 or the three cone or the shuttle the fastest. All right. Here's the rules for what we're doing when we're talking about the numbers. We're talking about NFL combine performances from 2000 to 2015. And we're looking at them by conferences, but your conference depends on where that player played his last college football season. So, Nebraska, for instance, counts as a Big 12 team in the 2011 combine. In the 2012 combine, they count for the Big 10. And there's three events we're going to talk about: the 40-yard dash, the three-cone drill, and the 20-yard shuttle. We have one more game to give out here. We have one more $50 in home
field.
Does
anybody who's really brave want to stand up right now and answer one trivia question?
Blind. We're not going to tell you what the question is. You just got to.
Ready? All right, Kansas guy, you ready?
Okay.
All right, here's my question. You ready?
All right, I'm going to tell you the question, then we're
going to. It is one question. Are you ready?
All right.
All right.
How many cones are in the three cone drill? How many cones are in the three cone drill?
Got to be four cones.
The answer is four cones.
Yeah.
That's right. The NFL is perfect, and you should never question it. Congratulations. Go find Josh after the show.
That was very smart. That was
get
very
good. Get $50 for understanding that the three-cone drill has four cones in it. All right. So the total number of defensive linemen we're talking about for this segment, we have 801 defensive linemen who participate in the NFL Combine. Almost all of them run the 40. About two-thirds of them run the three-cone and run the shuttle. So, at various points, we're really going to focus on the 40, not because it's necessarily the best measure of anything, but it is because it's the thing where we have the most data.
All right, hit me with the math. You ready?
So let's talk about conference averages. If we just look at this very long stretch of time and say, all right, which defensive ends had the fastest average time in their conference in the combine?
This is too much math.
This is why you were at Ole Miss for 6 years. The ACC has a good 40 time here. The Pac-12 has good three-cone and shuttle times here. The SEC is not showing out particularly impressively. Not good for our thesis.
All right. So far, does anyone believe that SEC speed is still a real thing?
Okay.
Yes? Okay. All right. Okay.
Let's try defensive tackles. Okay, the SEC is on the board.
It's kind of okay.
The fastest 40 time for defensive tackles. But there's the Big Ten, where their tackles are faster in the three-cone and the shuttle. The Big 12 is the only conference of the Power Five at this point that didn't finish first in any of these categories. Now, just looking at this, there's not like a really strong case to be made, right? Like, it sort of suggests, yeah, speed is everywhere. It doesn't mean anything.
Correct. Hold that thought.
I don't have that on the board, but I did look that up.
Hold that
and the
thought.
Answer is the SEC is not the heaviest group either. But they're all, like, this is the kind of thing where you take enough people and you're like, yeah, they're all big. Turns out they're all very big. All right, so what if we say instead, let's talk about just the cream of the crop, just the guys who are the absolute fastest in this time period at their relative events. So we took the fastest 15 defensive ends from the 40, the three cone, and the shuttle, and we broke them down by conference again.
You can notice that the SEC has a decent amount of pie, but not a convincing amount yet.
No, not a monopoly on pie.
They need more pie.
Not an entirety of pie. Like they're like, this is a lot of Big Ten pie right here. This is a lot of Big 12 pie right here. All right. If we look at the same question for defensive tackles.
Still
same
not enough
thing.
Pie.
A lot of the SEC well represented, but it's hard to look at this and say yes. Speed only lives in the SEC, and everyone else is not even finishing these events before everyone gets bored and goes home. Now, this is where we want to pause and talk about who we are talking about here, to your question. When we talked about AJ Green and wide receivers, those are guys with very little body fat who are trained to like be as fast as they can because they don't have to do things
very like svelte individuals.
Beat a double team or tackle a running back or any of these things. Aaron Donald, when he ran the combine, 6'1", 285 and ran it in a 4.68. Geno Atkins, 6'1", 293, did it in 4.75 seconds. This is a horrifying amount of muscle and mass coming at you. It's essentially like, hey, I'm going to hit you with a minivan now.
Which?
In this case, the minivan might be called Fletcher Cox. 6'4", 298, ran the 40 in a 4.79 and did the three cone in almost 7 seconds. Again, it's
Ryan,
the four cone.
Yeah. I have a rhetorical question because you already know the answer to it.
Please,
but I'll ask the
please.
Crowd. What is the most dangerous animal in the jungle to human beings? Is it a lion?
I heard it over here. Say that again.
Was it a lion?
Say it again.
Look at this sexy animal. Yeah. This right here is the most dangerous animal to human beings and kills more people than tigers, lions, etc. combined.
You said a hippo could get up to 30 miles per hour?
30 miles an hour.
Yeah. So this is what we're talking about. The terror of having to face a hippopotamus running at you around the tackle at full speed.
And obviously very sexy.
Yeah. All right. So I was a little bummed at this point because I thought, well, we have a show where the answer is going to be like, nope, wasn't real. Everybody have a great time. Thanks, Homefield. But I decided to check one more thing. I said, what if we just look at the average 40 times for both these positions? Defensive ends run the 40 in this time period and an average of 4.83 seconds. Defensive tackles at 5.09 seconds. And I said, what if we just say, how many above average runners does each conference have in this category?
I feel like we're going to do good here.
We're going to do great.
Hey.
The SEC had more above average defensive linemen than any other conference, significantly more than the Big Ten in, with 88. And this is where I landed on this thesis, is that for this period of time, defensive lines in the SEC weren't necessarily the only place speed existed or the place where the absolute fastest speed existed, but the depth of speed was terrifying. Why does that matter?
Big dudes running quickly at you. Welcome to the South.
Well, first of all, it matters
Sorry, Jim.
It makes Jim Delaney very unhappy.
We just kind of wanted to use that photo because he looks very constipated.
Very unhappy. And it also matters because...
Can anyone remember this? Yeah.
So this is where we're going to talk. Let's just riff a little bit. If you have a very fast wide receiver that you're planning against, Steven, you're the defensive coordinator. What can you do to shut that wide receiver down?
Clamp down on him, right?
Yeah, sure.
Jam him at the line.
Bracket him with double coverage.
Yeah.
Force the quarterback.
We're talking right now like anyone is paying attention to us and not watching this murder in progress.
That's right. If you are the offensive coordinator and you're going up against a super fast cornerback, defensive back, what can you do to get around that?
Yeah, get rid of it.
Don't throw the ball to that side.
Yeah.
Just don't do it at all. If you are facing a fast defensive lineman, it is a point of stress no matter what. You can double team. You can leave a running back in to chip. You can bring a tight end in. But now when I start telling you, oh, there are SEC teams that didn't just have one fast defensive lineman. They had multiple. Now you
They had
are,
fast defensive line.
We're going to get to Jordan Davis. Don't worry. Now, you may have noticed that we've been talking about was SEC speed
yes.
rail. Past tense.
Past tense.
And that brings us to the final segment of this show and of SEC speed.
I apologize. We're going to have to talk more about Ohio State. But we get to make fun of Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So for people who are listening to this after the fact, this is a picture of Zeke Elliott. Stephen Godfrey. Is the Alabama defender chasing him close to him?
He seems very blurry, so I'm going to say that he's very far away. Look
how
blurry he is.
Yeah. This is, of course, Zeke Elliott as part of his, I believe, 230 rushing yards against Alabama in the 2014 semifinal, where you were at this game. What you told me something very interesting about Jim Delaney after this game.
It was the happiest I ever saw Jim Delaney. He almost smiled.
Yes, because you know what this is? This is speed earned in the library.
That's right.
That's what it is.
Noted academics, Ohio State.
Zeke Elliott was asked about SEC speed after this game, and he said, last month someone asked me about SEC speed. I just was like, what is SEC speed? Every conference has speed. Coach Meyer really recruits speed. This is a real sticker that 11 Warriors sells. It's all about 85 yards. Like, this play has become an important moment for the Big Ten and, by extension, the SEC. Are we going to watch it? Yeah, we are going to watch it, friends, just to see exactly how rough this is. It is very hard to watch this and conclude, oh, yeah, the SEC had a speed advantage. They were faster than everyone. That's not what happens on this play in the slightest.
No, I wonder where those Ohio State players are from.
Yeah, we're going to get to
Bama,
that.
Sad Bama, sad Bama, sad Bama.
All right, so does anybody in the room happen to know where Zeke Elliott's parents both went to college and where they were both Division I athletes?
Incorrect. Does anyone have another guess? Is anyone here a fan of or an alumni of the University of Missouri?
I heard it over here.
Is anybody from Missouri here?
That's right. That's right. He said Mizzou.
So, the answer is Mizzou. So no one from Missouri is here. We don't have to act like they're from the South. They're not here right now. Okay, guys? But for the purpose of this show, we are, okay? But we know. We know.
Zeke Elliott from St. Louis. Both parents went to Mizzou, went to Ohio State all the same. He was not the only non-Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan area athlete on this team. Joey Bosa, also an All-American.
Had some Georgia players on that team. I don't know what you guys were doing. Obviously, not dropping enough bags.
JT Barrett's from Texas. Von Bell, the starting safety, is from Georgia. Joey Bosa's from Florida. Now, this is how quickly the myth or the mythos maybe of SEC speed unravels. I'm going to read the quote, and then, Steven, you're going to tell us who said it. Auburn hasn't seen any speed like we have here. I will say they're in for a rude awakening. Surely this was some mighty USC team or a resurgent Michigan team.
Got a very Vanna White moment going on. No, this was a running back for the University of Central Florida. That's UCF.
Talking shit about Auburn not being prepared.
Oh, we have a UCF fan here.
For UCF speed. And he was right. UCF finished that win over Auburn with 6 sacks, 10 tackles for loss, and 34 points, all of which were much more than Auburn had, which was the important part of things. Now, to bring it up to more modern times,
it's
very hard to watch Ohio State just destroy Tennessee.
Oh, man.
In the first round.
Wow.
It's hard to look at this and say that SEC speed persists
terrible.
In any meaningful way.
Surely you don't have another clip of that.
It's hard to look at Texas on the goal line against Ohio State and Ohio State has a speed problem.
It seems like Ohio State is as fast as the Southeastern Conference.
It might be argued. And after Michigan beat Alabama in the Rose Bowl and effectively retired Nick Saban, this is what USA Today had to say about it. Quote, Alabama looked a step or two behind Michigan in speed, physicality, and preparation, three things that definitely aren't important to Nick Saban teams.
No. Nor is snapping the ball from the
Now!
Hey!
Does that mean speed is gone in the SEC? No, it doesn't. These are the starting three defensive linemen from Georgia's 2021 national championship team.
Look at the belly on that good-looking man right there.
To the earlier point about Jordan Davis, Jordan Davis ran the 40 at 4.78 seconds. This is three minivans hurtling towards you at horrifying speed. But the problem is this, Stephen. The SEC doesn't have a monopoly on it. This is Michigan's starting defensive line for their 2023 national championship. And, well, yes, they don't have Jordan Davis because there's literally only one of him. Go Birds.
Yeah.
They have defensive end speed that is pretty much comparable.
Which is hard when you're carrying that many books all the time Michigan.
That's right. All right. So that brings us to the question we said we were going to start tonight with. Was SEC speed real?
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you as the resident lawyer, take all the data available and make a conclusive argument as to whether or not it was real. And then I'm going to do something different.
Okay. First, I should have done this earlier. I want to thank the aforementioned intern, Ryan Fortune. He helped gather a lot of this data and a lot of the quotes that we use. So thank you to him for helping put this episode together. Sitting with it and thinking about it for a while, I think SEC Speed had a kernel of truth, and it was amplified when the SEC and, to some extent, their media apparatus found it useful. And when that didn't fit the narrative because the SEC didn't show up well in a bowl game or they didn't do well in a non-conference game, it kind of just went away. Makes it harder for me to believe that it was an indisputable, undeniable fact. It feels like something that was a little bit true, but could sort of wax or wane depending on what the marketing team wanted to do.
That is the most boring answer possible.
Thank you. Thank you. Your support has always meant okay. So much to
All
me.
All right. Let me ask this crowd filled with Georgia fans, filled with Southerners, was SEC Speed real? And is SEC Speed real? Do we need to explain why? Do we need to show proof? Absolutely not. So you know what, Ryan? I guess what? It's inconclusive, and it's an ongoing investigation. Thank you, guys.
This has been Phantom Island. You can listen to our regular podcast, which we don't do in a bar in front of people, wherever you listen to other podcasts. And if you want to know more about us diving into the weird and silly and sometimes unpleasant history of college football, we have a miniseries we did last fall called Who Killed College Football?
All right. Thank you, Modelo. Thank you, Homefield. Thank you, Tweed Recording. And thank you guys most of all for showing up. Thank you so much.
Phantom Island is produced by Michael Serber. Our theme song is also called Phantom Island from the album of the same name by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.